The MTG Podcast is a virtual space for women and men in the tech and creative industries.
Tune in as we put it all on the table, sharing authentic life truths as we sustain and empower each other in search of our tribe.
We're more than a designer. We're more than our name badge. We're more than the work we produce.
Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast.
We're that tribe. What's up?
Hey, hey, I'm real greasy today, apparently. I didn't even realize. Oh, Lord.
We got you. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the More Than Graphics Podcast, Star Wars / Mother's Day edition. Woo, woo! Happy Star Wars Day, everybody, if you're out there in the world. Yes. Feel free to let us know that if you're celebrating in the comments, or just say hi in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Y'all, we just doing the things today. I wanted to kind of jump and do this kind of special rendition just because we're so close to Mother's Day. I figured this would be like the best time. What better analogy of motherhood than the Force itself? Mm,
yes. So. It's a force, all right.
As they say, ain't no hood like motherhood. So I definitely agree with all the sentiments of celebrating all things Star Wars Day today. So I'm pretty happy. If you don't know who we are, I'm Danielle.
And I'm Cicely.
And we just do some like cool conversations around women in tech and women creatives in this space. We kind of want to be seen as that safe place for women, especially women of color in this realm. But we're really all about today just celebrating moms. And there's a big, big portion of women in tech and women creatives that are moms, whether you claim that title of a creative by just being the art school teacher or the art teacher at home, whether you claim being the STEM teacher at home with the blocks and the Legos, or just being an actual person in tech with the name badge and things. We just want to celebrate all the things, all the hats that we as moms wear. That's a huge thing. So I'm just happy that one, I could be here, I could share, I could do some things that, you know, we could just kind of share in general some testimonials about motherhood, and really just kind of lift you guys up. All of you ladies out there who are listening, like, just feel that encouragement. Maybe you're on your last leg. Maybe this Mother's Day isn't the best or most rewarding feeling in the world. I am with you 110%. I think this year is my year to like, yeah, I'm with it, but I'm like, yeah.
Yay. Yeah,
exactly. It's almost like that white flag of surrender, right? So I really encourage, again, all of us to kind of, you know, stand firm in our truths and our affirmations of being good people in the world and nurturing other good people in the world. So Cicely, what's good in your world?
Just so much, as always a lot of things going on. What's really bad is I didn't even realize that this weekend was going to be Mother's Day, so how bad am I? I'm just not big about celebrating Mother's Day for myself, just because, like, it's always like, I'm, you know, lucky enough, blessed enough to have my mother and my grandmother still, like, here, my mom and my mom's mom. So, like, I make Mother's Day more about them and it's less about me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, I take the time to do the things I need for myself every other day of the year. So it doesn't have to be Mother's Day for me to, you know, celebrate. So I take the time and spend with my mom and my grandmother. And, like, I have aunts and stuff that I see as well. So, like, that's kind of what Mother's Day is about for me. So it's not so much celebrating myself as a mom, but more about celebrating the mothers in my life. So,
ooh, I love that. I think a lot of people are in the kind of the same boat as you, Cicely. Like, they're in a place where they just want to celebrate that legacy, right? Celebrate the women that's come before them in some areas. And kudos to all the ones who are definitely kind of following that realm. I definitely am doing more of a self rah-rah mom thing. So, you know, if mom wants to sit here and be chill, DoorDash wine for today, I will get it after this podcast. So it's just like, I'm treating myself today. I am treating
absolutely
myself.
It's so, treat yourself, and that's what, right? I love. And like I said, I'm not taking just one day. So, like, you know, I reserve the one day for, like, you know, me to celebrate the other moms in my life. But it's the other 300. I'm going to say 363 because I don't count Liam's birthday, because, you know, his birthday is big on birthdays in my family. So your birthday is actually your day. But the other 364 days, sorry about you. Mom's out here doing stuff, doing things, man. Being happy.
That's where it's at. I just feel like that's the force, right? Like defining, what is that? What is motherhood? It's a force. It's the force. Right. So we talk a lot about, you know, Star Wars and doing all the things. And there's so many analogies to motherhood and Star Wars. There's so many analogies to the types of characters that are portraying mother-like characters in this whole universe. I don't want to say just film, because it's obviously a branch, a series of, like, what we're going to 8. We're moving on to it's going to be a 12-part series eventually. So I'm just kind of really interested in knowing, like, you know, for us as moms, what is the thing that's keeping us going in some areas to kind of maintain ourselves? And I think too, in a lot of ways, like what I hope that women out there are doing is they are, you know, kind of speaking those truths to each other, right? They look in the mirror and they say, I'm going to do this again.
Yes.
You know, every day, look here, I'm going to do this again. Also, the other area, the joy that comes from being a mom. I mean, Cicely, you and I both can attest to the beauty of being a mom, but also being a creative and being in that tech space as well. And how it takes almost the culmination of both, right? It takes a little bit of both parts to kind of keep our kids going.
Absolutely. And keep ourselves sane. I was going to say, keep ourselves going. And that's one thing, too, I've always applauded moms who have the ability to stay at home. Like I always said, if I had the ability to stay at home, I would stay home for probably the first 3 or 4 years. But then after that, I'm too much of a busybody. I'm too antsy. I would have to go do something else. Not to say that being a mom is not enough. But for me, like I've always, and I guess this comes from being a mom at a young age. Like I became a mom at 21, like literally shortly after my 21st birthday. So I spent most of my 21st year of life pregnant. And that's always been just kind of how I am. I'm always like going and going and doing things and like just moving around in terms of just activity. So I think that's a big thing for me. If I have more children, the next child or children I have, I'd love to stay home for a year or two, maybe 3. And, but then after that, I'd want to go and do something else. And I can still, you know, you can still pursue your dreams while being a mom and while being at home with kids. But thankfully, like there's more work from home opportunities. So I think it's a lot easier now than it was, say, 12 years ago to have it all or to be able to balance that. Like I've always said, the perfect job for me would be working from like 9 to 3. So I'd be able to sleep in a little bit or take, you know, but also be able to take my kid to school and then pick my kid up from school. So I'd only work that little 6 hours and I'd be able to come home, you know, pick them up from school, do homework, get dinner ready, and then get ready for the next day. So working like a 25 to 30 hour work week, but, you know, getting paid like I work the 40 would be my absolute dream. So I can, you know, still have my career, but I can still do mom things, because I feel it's very important. If it's important to you, it's very important to have both. And I need that balance. I need to feel a purpose outside of being a mom, but I also really enjoy being a mom as well. So I think finding balance, like I don't just want to be mom 100% of the time, but also if you have kids, I can't just be Cicely 100% of the time either. I have to find, you know, a balance, which is as they get older, I feel it's a little bit easier, which you can attest to, I'm pretty sure, in some ways, because
right,
these preteens and teenagers be wild in these streets. But in some ways, when they get older, it's easier for us to find ourselves and kind of get back to ourselves. But definitely those first 4 years, 5 years, right before school starts, you're very much consumed with your child, which is a wonderful thing. But you can forget yourself as well in that process.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love that you said that. I feel like that's the part that we have to hold on to is ourselves, the people we were before we had kids, right?
Yes.
The people, and not necessarily hold on to it, but just kind of cherish it more so.
Yes.
It's not necessarily a hold on lingering, because the people that we were probably before kids are not the people we want to be with kids.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, there's, you know, parts of us that we want to keep, but then there's lots of things that 12 years ago, Cicely, we don't need that anymore. So 100% agree.
That's me. I'm just like, ooh, no, not exactly.
Not all the things, just the good parts, right? Just
right. The cliff notes.
Right. The lessons we learned that have, you know, brought us to this point. That's what we need. Yes. Not the other stuff.
That's it. Oh my gosh, yes. And I definitely want to, again, just kind of rah-rah the women who are doing this with a partner, without a partner. Moms out there, y'all rock the world. We can totally attest. Cicely and I can both attest to what that's like being a single mom raising kids. And we can also attest to being married and having and raising kids. So we've been able to rock both sides of the scale, which I think is really unique for both of us, Cicely, in our unique friendship and podcast sisterhood, is that we both come from that perspective, from going from single mom to having a partner with us that helps us raise our kids. So I can completely attest to wanting to, you know, lock yourself in the bathroom for all of 5 to 10 minutes so that you can just have a breather.
Yes. And or going outside on the porch while the kids are sleeping and you just take, yes, you know, just take a break.
Sometimes you just need that moment. You just need to have like a human moment, and there's not enough humans, yes, in the space that you're in. So especially if you have young children, which in my case, I'm kind of reliving in some areas with our toddler. So it's just like, This is what it was. Oh my. Like,
oh, Mr. Theo.
Thank goodness that I have three other older children that can help with that load, because the mental space, I'm sure, for all moms in some relative area is tough. And so in whatever way that we can support you, especially in realms of tech and realms of tech and creative spaces, it's really important for us because of the elements that we possess that make us so good in being a creative and being a techie. We can kind of get lost in our own stuff. We can kind of get warped in our own world. And sometimes we say things, whisper things, act like things are really true when there really is, it really is just a mental border for us, or a mental, right, wall in some spaces. So whatever we can say to encourage you to see through those walls, whatever we can do to help you, like, you know, laser points, we get you some blasters and blast through that wall, whatever we can do on a Star Wars level to help you enhance your force, right? Grow your skill, become one with the force, whatever we can do to help that. That's what we're here for. This is what that space is created for. So just in general, since we're talking about, you know, Mother's Day and all the things, I would love to know anyone's good old favorite Mother's Day memories that they may or may not have. Maybe you're I have a really embarrassing one, I think. I was trying to think on my head. I was like, is it really embarrassing? Like, in my head, it seems like embarrassing, but we had a really good trip to usually around this time, around Mother's Day, the annual International Barbecue Festival, which is held in my hometown of Owensboro, Kentucky, is held. It's pretty well renowned. It's been featured on like Travel Channel and all things. It's really cool. It's really big, and it features some of the best barbecue ever. I mean, some of the best barbecue. And so one of my favorite things to do is to, you know, visit there during Mother's Day weekend is when they usually host it. So I go down there one year, and I literally, I mean, this is kind of, maybe it's embarrassing. Don't call me on this, but we were staying in a hotel, and the hotel person said that, you know, the room was clean, it was great, all the things. And my kids were in one area. We kind of had like a suite, if you will. So this is our first kind of big, not really big, but just a good size family trip. Half the kids were in the adjacent suite, and me and my husband were kind of like in this king kind of suite with the extra bathroom or whichever. So I am literally just getting in, kind of getting settled into the space, into the room. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a quick shower. I'm going to jump out. We're going to go to, you know, XYZ's house and go hang out over there. Literally, I kid you not, they tell me that showers were clean, all things, right? And the worst thing you could possibly think of, screech, 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 that the showers weren't clean. And so that was my most like horrendous. I wanted to like scream so loud, but I didn't.
Damn,
so
yeah,
that's my Mother's Day horror story for all the people who are like traveling and wanting to get away. Check those hotels, because you just never
check that bathroom.
Sometimes I ain't gonna dish them out, because they helped me out in the long run. But it was one of those situations where I was just like, this is not the way that I wanted to start my weekend.
Right. So I probably would have cried. I'm with you on that. I was just like, all I wanted was take a shower.
Yeah, it was just like someone didn't properly clean or didn't care to clean or something along those lines. So that was my horror story for Mother's Day. But I'm sure you all have other ones out there to share that may or may not be as dramatic as mine. But that was one. How about you, Cicely? Do you have any favorite ones?
It's not really a horror story. It's somewhere in between. But I think up until I was like 6 or 7, every Mother's Day, when, like, especially even if it didn't fall on the, or it's always on a Sunday. Oh my God, I'm losing my mom. But no matter when it was on a Sunday, me and my mom, up until I was like 7, maybe 8, my dad would like always go out and get us like matching or coordinating outfits. And it was the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, I remember one outfit was like, and I hated hats. Like, that's one thing. As a kid, hated hats. I'm not a hat person. I've never been a hat person. Like, I just don't wear hats. And if I do, it's like a wide brim, airy, like beach hat. It's the only, literally, I've owned one hat that I've actually worn in my whole life. And I bought it for the Bahamas, wore it to the Bahamas, and I think I tossed it after that. I don't even know where that, I may have given it to my mom. I don't know. But it had like this little white hat. Like, think about Easter outfits. You know, black churches, Easter outfits. Think about that.
Yes.
It was this little white hat with like a black bow. This is the most memorable outfit. There were other ones. There were like pastel purple ones. It was bad. And the dress was all white with like a black bow, like at the waist.
Oh, no.
And my mom had the same dress, but the adult version. I just, ugh. Like, I could not. I can never. Like, it's cute to, like, dress up. But I, like, by the time, I think I was, like, 7 or 8 when we finally stopped doing it. Because I was like, I just don't even want to wear this. Like, ew. But there's pictures of me when I was, like, 2, 3, and 4. As a baby, probably not so much. But, like, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's, like, pictures every year at Mother's Day. In that, you know, Easter Mother's Day time frame. And me and my mom always had, like, coordinating outfits. Like, mother-daughter outfits. And I was like,
it's coming back. Cause I mean, like, look at, I mean, Father's Day, I'm always doing something like that, you know, for the boys. Coordinating bow tie, and then you can wear whatever you want, just the coordinating
bow tie. That's cute though. Not the hat, not the Sunday hat.
I'm not at five.
No. No. And it'd be like colors I don't even wear. Like, I didn't even like pink. And I was wearing pink back then. Like,
We were twinning in another world, because that's definitely me. I was anti-dress, anti-pastels, anti-pink. And so, like, that's hilarious. I mean, I know there's plenty of other stories out there from other people who are probably going to laugh their butt off in regards to like Mother's Day stories, but feel free to send those on, put those in the comments if you want. I'll be watching out for those, for anyone who wants to contribute any type of Mother's Day comment or Mother's Day story that they want to share. Feel free to leave it in the comments. We'll totally talk about it. I think it's just really important, again, as we talk about Mom's Day, like, I guess the question is now, because we talked about best and worst and kind of different memories of Mother's Day. Have you ever received a really bad gift for Mother's Day? Like a thing that I thought was really awesome, but then you were like, no.
Ooh, I don't have one. Like, you know, maybe, I mean, I joke about this all the time with my friend. There's like a meme that goes around about it, like about how your kids are broke and all they can do is these little art projects. But I mean, outside of like little art projects, I think they're cute though. But outside of little art projects, I've actually had like, you know, either gift cards or like, you know, just regular like Happy Mother's Day kind of cards. So I've not had a bad gift. I don't consider, I want people to know for the record, I don't consider the kids' gifts bad gifts. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just funny because I remember, look, I know you remember these memories too, where you do like your little hand and a piece of clay, like in the clay thing. They need to stop. Because my mom still kept those. Like, my mom has like Christmas ornaments I made and like the little hand. And like the little handprint, like they would do like a little heart. Like, you know, they do the turkeys for Thanksgiving and all that. They do like a little heart and they put like the little kids' feet. I'm like, a happy Mother's Day would have been fine.
Oh my gosh. I love those little cute questionnaires. Those are my favorite.
Oh, those are hilarious. Yes. What makes my mommy is a good mom because those are good ones. I had some funny answers from Liam a few years.
Yes. That's what I was curious to say. I was like, I know there's going to be some really good answers from some of these. My mom feeds me, therefore she's good. I've had a lot of those.
Right. Problems. She has hair.
Yeah.
That's been one. She likes to cook. She cleans. I'm trying to think of like some of his through the years. She smells good. That was one.
Yes. Oh, that's golden.
It's the only reason you're a good mom. You actually smell good. That's it. You don't do anything else. You just smell good.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I have several from the boys, like several, like I'm pretty sure that I've kept over the years that they had no idea that I probably kept, just things that they've had from like daycare or pieces they've made in the early kindergarten, first grade, pieces, funny. Stuff like that are just so funny. And it's the candidness, right, of these kids. It just makes us want to love them more, if not extra hard. So we'll get better answers maybe next year.
Right. Maybe I'll try being a better mom. Since all I do is clean. I saw something where, like, you know, they share it on Facebook and it's like, my mommy yells at me and calls me names. And it said something about like my favorite thing about mommy is, like, you know, she cooks me food, but sometimes she yells at me and calls me names. And I was like, oh.
Oh, I love moments like that. I think those are so precious. And kids say the darndest things, right? So I'm just right? They be pushing some buttons. I think I'm definitely going to have my kids do one at their age now and see what they say. Just because it'd be kind of fun to compare answers from my mom feeds me and clothes me to my mom does
whatever, like, they're gonna say now.
Yeah, exactly. I dare hold my breath on some of the things that they may say now. So I'm telling you, these teens, they out here.
They're wild and crazy.
Yeah, they out here. So so maybe you can relate to us having to raise some teenagers and some kids. Maybe you cannot, but I definitely want to at least put out there to the world that mothers are forced to be reckoned with. We do so much for maybe some of the simplest of things, like love and compassion and maybe even a little bit of humility. We do so much for the people that we love and nurture on so hard. And I think it's really important that, you know, we have a moment, if not a whole year, to celebrate who we are and what we do and what we offer. Depending on where you are, motherhood is like a year-round celebration. So, absolutely. I mean, I want to keep celebrating myself as much as I possibly can.
Amen. And that very much ties into, like, the celebration of motherhood worldwide, to me, very much ties into, like, how motherhood is seen in the workplace, especially in other countries. So, like, a lot of people know this, that the United States doesn't have any sort of set federal mandatory maternity leave or any sort of benefits that they have to do. Mm-hmm. But I see worldwide, like, it's such a good, like, you know, they say, oh, we celebrate mothers, we love moms, and we love kids, and they truly do, because they're taking the time to say, you can have, I think the minimum that I've seen in any other country is 6 months, but I think the standard is like a year, year off from maternity leave. You're getting, I know, like, it's crazy. I had this conversation when I was probably 7-8 months pregnant with Liam when I lived in New York City, and I had a visitor. I worked in skincare at the time in sales, like retail sales. I had someone come up and was buying stuff for me, and they're like, oh, you're pregnant. Like, you know, do you get to go on leave soon? And I'm like, leave, girl, where am I going? Like, right. Leave where?
Leave, go, and where, like, right?
Oh, like, you don't get time off? I was like, oh, well, yeah, I get, like, you know, 12 weeks off and 8 of it's paid and I have to take 4 unpaid. And they're like, you should move to Denmark. They're like, right. You'd be off for 2 years. And I'm like, girl, one plane ticket, let's go. I'm gonna take me and my 7-month pregnant self and we going to Denmark. I don't even speak Danish, but we going anyways.
You got to learn, right?
But that was, you know, almost 13 years ago. Liam's gonna be 13 in October. So this happened summer 2009. So even more than a decade ago, countries around the world were saying, we love mothers, we love children, and they were showing us. And I will say one good thing about the tech industry and about being creative, when you own your own business, you can make your own maternity leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of these tech companies are truly seeing the value in their female employees and their employees that are mothers. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not the birthing parent, they're still realizing the value of parents in the workplace.
Yes.
So if you're adopting, if you're a surrogate, if you're, you know, like the non-birthing parent in a relationship, they're still recognizing that you have a huge role to play in the development of this baby, of this child, of, you know, of your family formation. So I think we're just in such a really good space now where we're moving towards that. It's still not the standard. It's still not federal law. But so many companies, like, I will tell you one thing. I will not look at a company. I will not look at a tech company if they ain't got some sort of extended parental leave or some sort of extensive, like, healthcare, family benefits. Like, don't even look my way. Don't come in my inbox. don't come at me unless you're offering comprehensive, I'm talking minimum 12-week maternity, paternity leave. Yes. Like, I've seen companies that offer a stipend for parents, like a two or 3 month hey, we're going to give you an extra $1,000 a month for 3 months after your baby's born, after you've been on maternity leave for 14 months at full or 14 weeks at full pay. Excuse me. Now, if that ain't appreciating moms. And again, like that's so, it's so important to me because so many women have to actually make the choice to not go back to work because they don't have the flexibility. Right. You know, I'd say women with partners, because those of us who didn't have partners, I was a single parent when I gave birth to Liam. I had to go back to work. I did not have a choice.
Right.
I couldn't have lived. I couldn't have supported myself. But if I'd had a safety net like that to know that I'm going to get full pay for 14 weeks, to know that even after I come back to work, I'm going to have $1,000 a month. I mean, in the United States, $1,000 a month ain't even going to cover daycare, but that would have been a very big help, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but, daycare, bro. I don't
daycare is crazy. No, ma'am. And that's one thing. I was like, daycare ain't for me no more. So when the time comes and I have another child, I will be at a work from home job again in a job that, and even a job I have now, it's so awesome. I see, like, so we don't really get on video very much, but we could be having a video chat like, hey, I have to ask someone a question. Do you mind to hop on a 15-minute call for a second? You know, there'll be a mom breastfeeding her baby, or the baby will be, you know, Google guy and up in the camera. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, Thomas. And that's a beautiful thing. And just think of like 10, 20 years ago. I mean, probably 5 years ago in some places, that would have been unheard of, so unprofessional. Like, don't bring your baby to this meeting. Like, how dare you? And if we're in like a team meeting, she'll just put herself on mute or she'll turn the camera off. Nobody has anything to say about it.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful thing. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm where I'm supposed to be. This is the place. Places like this that foster that time with your baby, that literally, as long as you're getting your work done, the baby can work too. He can be on the laptop. We don't
Exactly. Yes.
And I think that's so important. It's so important.
Yeah, right on. I mean, I'm right there with you. This is exactly how Team Octane functions on the same level. So it's one of those situations where there's moments where I have meetings with clients and they are fully aware that there's my toddler running around in the front or behind or trying to get my attention in this back corner back here. And then other times he's sitting in my lap during the team meetings because I need to still give out direction on some areas. And I'm sitting here with Theo and Theo's just sitting here trying to, you know, do his normal thing, eat my mic and
I was gonna say grab the mic,
climb on top of my chest or climb on top of my shoulder. So I just think it's really interesting how it's becoming more and more commonplace for children to be in and out, young children to be in and out of the space. Now,
yes,
I think we still have, again, like you said, ways to go.
Yes,
to be seen as that, but I definitely think that there's more leg room for that now. I have staff members currently that do the same thing. So occasionally, if it's not me, it's a staff member that has their son or daughter in the space as well, and they'll come to Mike and poke their little head in and say hi. But once they get that attention, it's like, okay, mom can work now. So I really appreciate that we're getting to a place where that is becoming more common. Some of the other, there's so many other things that you had said earlier in this conversation as well in regards to just children and motherhood and being able to work in spaces. So I'm again, not continuing necessarily the exact same conversation, but just kind of appreciating the fact that we can be moms and the coworker and the boss and the plus one or whatever it is that we need to be. It can be mom plus something else. And that's becoming more and more receptive by the world a little, being more appreciative of us in that space a little bit better. But I also feel like, too, moms, we ourselves are becoming more empowered by the idea of being mom and something else. So I like that, too. And then shout out to the moms who are choosing to invest in their household more so than a job. And that's cool, too. I think that is something that more women have become more aware of, that it's a powerful choice to make. It is a power play. You can figure out whether or not you want to do that at home or do that at home and elsewhere. So I love the fact that we're being more diverse in how we want to spread our motherhood around.
And I love that you said that, like, as long as you're nurturing your child and children, you're taking care of yourself and you're doing what's best for your family, there's really no wrong way to be a mom. I've seen so many different family situations where, like, from the outside looking in, I'd be like, you know what? I'm not sure if that would work for me, but I see it working for the people who are doing it, and their kids are thriving because of it. They're thriving. I've seen parents where you know, mom actually takes a backseat and is like, hey, I need to get myself together. So if in a relationship where the parents are maybe not together, the child or children will go live with dad for a little bit, like full time. And yeah. mom will be able to take the time to finish college or to launch her career or to, you know, do the things she needs to do to be financially mm-hmm. and financially straight, or, you know, just straight as a person, as a human, right? Because we right. got to take care of ourselves. We got to have our house in order in right. order to, you know, pass that stability on to our kids. So mm-hmm. I've seen that situation. And then I had to check myself because I was like, you know, dads do that all the time and no one ever says anything. Mm. Like, dads can be gone. Like, I told Danielle, like, we talked about this a little bit, maybe a few podcasts ago, probably off the podcast as well, that when I left to go to North Dakota for 2 months, 2.5 months, that I felt like some sort of guilt at first because I was like, I'm leaving my child behind. I'm like, yeah. girl, you're not leaving yeah. your child like destitute by himself right. to pay bills and, you know, do things by himself. He was left behind with my husband and my parents. Like, you know, he would go visit my parents and, you know, the dog and the cat were there. So I'm like, I'm not leaving my child. I'm doing this for our family. I'm doing this for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving him behind. Like, you know, boy was 11 then. He was 11. He was fine. He was fine. He was going to be all right. He missed me. You know, I talked to him, called him, FaceTimed him every day. But he was in good hands. Like, I, mm-hmm. it showed me that I can be a little more hands-off, too. Like, I yes. think that took some of the pressure off of me having to be like, I have to know everything that's going on all the time. Because there'd be days, like, I'd ask him how his day was. You know how preteens get. They don't even talk. Like, oh, it was fine. It was okay. That's fine. So I'm not even asking about the details. So, you know what? I don't care. If you didn't brush your teeth, that's on you, boy. Like, I just don't care. You know what you're supposed to do. Like, hopefully you're taking showers, you're putting on clean clothes, but I'm mm-hmm. not home, so I don't care. Like, that's, you know, I wasn't yeah. worried about the things that I would normally be policing and tracking and looking after when I was home. It allowed me to loosen the reins a little bit and to, like, be more I don't know what the word is, I guess a looser in my parenting. Like, I didn't have to have such a tight grip on everything wasn't scheduled out like, okay, he's got to do this, I gotta go here. I actually got to, you know, take that time and do things for myself on my time. Imagine yeah. on my, I got to do nothing sometimes. I got to lay around in my underwear sometimes and do nothing yeah. and it was a beautiful thing. And it, like, you know, again, it proved that I don't have to be there all the time. Like, that dad can, you know, stepdad, dads of all, you know, family mm-hmm. situations, other people other than mom can help take care of the kids.
Yes, girl, you.
It's not just mom.
Yes, it's not
it's
just
a partnership.
Mom. I love that. Yes,
it's a tribe. It's a community. It's a group effort, right? Yes. So I got to remove myself from the group. I got to be, not remove myself, but I got to get to the outer circle and not be in the inner circle for
there
2.5
There you go. Okay.
It was very nice. I got to be like back here while everybody else yeah. was up in there. I got to be.
Well, he was like third here. Row from the back.
Right.
And he was, instead of being in the front row from the front. Yes.
Right. On stage.
On stage. Yes. There you
instead
go.
Of being on stage.
On stage or behind stage. Yes. I love Girl. That. Yes. I love that. I love that. I think that's so important that we as moms learn to adapt in that level as well, learning when to take the third row from the back instead of wanting to be on stage. Sometimes we do get in that place where we're like, oh, we have to. And there's some level of helicopter parenting on some level with that. But at the same time, as we grow and as our kids grow, we should be able to kind of be more hands off. That is not the case, obviously, in all of my cases right now. But it's one of the situations where I'm really looking forward to that season in life where I can step back and be like, look at the fruits of my labor. Look at it blossom and grow.
And you said it. That's the caveat. Had Liam been Theo's age, would not have probably been able to do it with the same feeling. Like, I know Ryan mm-hmm. would have been fine. It wouldn't have been a problem, but that would have been a lot for him. He basically would have been operating as a single parent because clearly toddlers, young babies need way more attention, way more yeah. hands on deck. My parents are older, so they don't have the energy to run around with toddlers and babies right. that are walking. So, I mean, he would have had, you know, a toddler or baby, a dog, a cat, himself, work. We would have had a hire a sitter or take, you know, put the baby yeah. in daycare. So there would have been a lot more consideration. But thankfully, Liam was older. So Liam, like I said, was 11 then. He turned 12 shortly after I came back home. Mm-hmm. So it was just a good time that worked in our family. And I know, like I said, I know Danielle understands this because she has the kids that are older, middle school and up. And then she has a little baby who's not in school yet. So you kind of have to figure out that balance. Had Theo been in school, different situation. Maybe you could leave for a week or two and go get some things done. But
right.
I fully understand everyone's situation is different. And that for me, you know, it was 11 years in the making.
Yes, of course. Yes.
It didn't happen overnight.
Right. I know that's right. It definitely took a lot for me to think about wanting to leave. I didn't have the guilt. It was definitely more of a, oh no, girl, go. Like, it was more of a, yes, my child at the time, who was what, probably, he was probably 18 months at the time. He was definitely young, but I was fully confident in both his brothers and his dad that were able to, you know, hold down the fort and keep it together. So I wasn't as worried there. I think for me, I was almost a little worried about my own freedom. Like, you know, the whole, and not mom guilt thing, but just kind of that whole, like, okay, what do I do now? And it was a really good precursor to what's my life going to be like without my kids? You know, who am I? Like, the whole self rediscovery process is like going, it goes right to my core. So I literally, like, especially when I took a trip to the She Podcast Conference last year in Arizona, in Phoenix. And that was like such a self journey. Like, I was waking up every day not hearing the calamity of children. It was like, yeah, like, this is a whole new world. Like, what's wrong with this situation? So there was just a lot of moments I felt like it was a self-check for me. Like, where is my freedom? Where do I find my freedom? Where do I find myself? And recentering that whole process of motherhood. Yes, I'm a mom, a person who has devoted my life to raising my children. However, I also am a mom that has, in doing raising children, has created another identity or another fueling for herself. And so that's the part that I really wanted to, you know, speak into for moms out there who are like, you know, maybe haven't had the empty nester experience yet, or even maybe looking forward to being the empty nester, you know, wherever you are on that spectrum. We celebrate it because it takes work to raise and nurture other human beings. It takes a lot of work. It's a good practice of that ebb and flow of life, giving and taking and pouring into on a constant basis. So just kind of speaking into that realm for motherhood, if you are in those circles, man, rah, rah, you, like, all the cups of tea, every last coin that I could think of should go in your pocket, because it's a celebration of living in regards to motherhood. It's not just a choice that we make. It's not necessarily just a decision that we hold up to for 18 years. It literally is an ebb and flow of giving and taking and receiving. And that's the part that, again, I just want to keep on pouring into and celebrating women wherever you are in the space and realms of tech and realms of creativity. Cicely's like, well.
She's preaching, Sister Danielle. She's preaching on the mic. She's preaching, speaking. She's speaking nothing but a word today. Amen. Oh, I had to stay on mute because I was gonna keep dropping. I was gonna keep dropping stuff in the middle. So I was like, I'm gonna let the good people hear the good word that she has to say today, and I'm gonna stay silent.
Oh my word! I love it. I love it. But yes, I love the fact too. I want to harp and toot a little bit on our own horns, because we've been able to do this for so long. This is our fourth season, being moms, talking about women in tech and women creative spaces, being special needs moms at that, being women of color, being Black women on this podcasting platform, being able to talk about these areas that are missing and opportunities that are missing for women of color, specifically women, that are in tech and creative fields. So I think it's just really cool that we've been able to have this cool collab and experience. I always refer to Cicely as my podcast sister / sister wife, but we'll keep the sister wife down. But it's one of the situations where we have had so much in similarity and common and threaded throughout each other's personal life stories. And so it's so cool to be able to still celebrate other women, but also celebrate ourselves, the things that we've gone through, the things that we've lived through, the things that is yet to come. We're celebrating all of these things as part of our motherhood journeys and our motherhood story. So I can only think of a handful of times that, you know, it may have gotten to a point where it's like, I don't know, like, we're kind of flying solo, we're blind a little bit. Falcon has gone down for a sec, but it's always this ebb and flow. If I'm having a little bit low moment, Cicely picks right back up. And when Cicely has a low moment, Danielle picks right back up. And then I just love the fact that we've been able to have that bond of motherhood and blended family life threaded throughout this podcast. So this has kind of really been a surreal experience having this is our third Mother's Day on this podcast so far. So that's pretty crazy.
It's really nuts to think about it that way. And it really just drives home the importance of having like a good circle, of having a good support system in many different ways. Mm-hmm. So even if we weren't doing the podcast, I feel like we'd still be a good support system for each other. But I think you cannot be, that's the one thing I learned from being a mother, from being a single mom, especially for the first 10 years of my motherhood journey. I learned that like, I cannot do this by myself. I may be single, as in I don't have a partner helping me with this, but I've got family and I've got friends and I need to lean on those people. And in my life, in my child's life, in our ability to thrive depends on all this thing. Like we have to have a community or it's just not going to work. And yeah. I know that there are people who don't have like a large extended community, but you at least have a couple of people that you know you can depend on. And that's so vital because motherhood is not, it shouldn't be a lonely thing. You can be a single motherhood and that can be isolating in itself. Mm-hmm. But for me, finding community was the biggest thing for me. So I had a blog for a while. When I first became a single mom, I started a blog when I was pregnant. It was crazy. I was trying to be a lawyer at that point. We ain't gonna talk about that. But so I found a community of women who were also single moms. And I mean, a lot of them, it was a couple were single moms by choice, but a lot, it was like, you know, they were in committed relationships. They were married and, you know, husband's like, didn't sign up for this. I'm dipping. Or a long-term boyfriend was like, not quite where I want to be. And a lot of times moms, women, we don't have that choice. Mm-hmm. We don't have the choice. Yeah. That's well, you right. know, let's be clear. We all have a choice, right? But I'm definitely not going to leave this baby that I birthed and brought to the world to the wind just because, you know, dad decided to not step up or, you know, whatever partner I was with decided to not step up. Like, that's just not how I'd say 98 to 99% of us are built. So then it's up to you at that point. Everything falls on you. All the decisions, the hugs. So you get all the highs, but then you also get all the lows and you have to experience that by yourself. So I would say the most important thing for me, especially in just the early years of motherhood, was having that community. Because had I not had the community, always joke all the time, every year for Liam's like first 10 birthdays, I always made the joke. And I was like, now I'm not serious. But like, if I say it, I'm not serious, but then I was like half serious. So, like, I can't believe like he's 10 years old. Like I kept him alive for 10 years. I kept him alive for 9 years. Like we really been in this, we've been in the thick of it for this long. Like it was just, it was mind blowing to me. Cause when I first had him, I could not see, like, I couldn't see where we would be. I could not see the joy and the happiness and all the things that we would experience. Wow. I could not picture it at that time. All I could picture was like, I had tunnel vision, like, gotta raise this baby, gotta finish this degree, gotta get through these things. And it was just, you know, next step. I didn't have a lot of time at that point to enjoy the first moments of his life, like the first year or two. I didn't have a lot of time to enjoy it because I was so focused on keeping this baby alive.
Yes.
And making sure we didn't starve, making sure we weren't homeless and all these things that like I didn't get the chance to enjoy that. And now like I look back and I'm like, girl, I really wish that like, you know, my 32 or 31 year old self could go back in time to my 21 year old self and be like, girl, you all worried and stuff right now. It's going to be fine. It's not even going to be fine. It's going to be better than you ever thought it could be. Like you will be fine. Your parents will be okay. With the fact that you're having a baby. Like life will not end and life will be more beautiful than you ever imagined. So I say that to people who struggle, who are struggling right now and people who know the struggle. Like I know that the people, me and you can be testimonies for that. But people who were on the other end of it, I should say, or like we're out of the dark part of it, we're out of the thick of it, that we can look back and be like, number one, I can't believe I survived that.
Yes.
And number two, like, wow, I survived that. And like, look at how much better I am for it. Look how, like, look at the position my child is in because of it. Look at all the things I have, not even material. Just look at who I've become, who we've become since then. Like, it's a journey for you and your children. So I grew up, clearly I raised Liam, but like we was growing up together. We did a lot of growing together and it was a beautiful thing.
Yes. I can definitely, again, so much similar stories. I myself was also 21 having my first child and it was very important for me to have a little bit of a, I don't know, like a leg up in some areas simply because I was the parent and the child was a child, but I was still very much a child. And it was one of those situations where I had to grow up a little bit quicker than others, simply so because I had to raise a child. And I think it was also one of those bittersweet moments because we grew up together. And so in a lot of areas, as much as I, you know, love my son, I never put him in this place of I was the mom. Like I had a leg up because in certain areas he had more of a leg up than I did in areas. And so we really, again, that phrase of growing up together, that is so symbolic because that's for younger moms. That is exactly how it rolled out. There's just areas where we just literally grew up together. And I think it's so defining too, as we talk about, you know, motherhood and the different shapes and forms that it comes in, to not necessarily, point blame or point finger at ourselves when things are not necessarily going the direction that we want to. I know for us as moms, especially moms who maybe want things a little bit on a higher standard than others. I was one of those moms when I first started out and I cut myself all the way down. And I think it's really important that, you know, we realistically walk into these spaces where we want to nurture and love our kid, our kids as much as possible. And that takes a level of transparency on our part. And for me over the years, that transparency level has gotten thinner and thinner as my kids get older. So they see me, I hope that they continue to see me more as a person who helped them navigate some spaces instead of just this title of mother and holding them up to this certain quote unquote esteem. I want my kids to see me as everyday people. At the end of the day, I want them to be able to understand and realize that mom had to make some choices because they were the mature choices to make in the situation. But overall, this is another woman going into the world trying to navigate spaces just as much as we did. And I hope that equal balance feel, there's like a helicopter going over my house. There's like an equal balance feel to that, some sort of equilibrium, if you will. And I think that is the part that is beautiful as a parent watching your child grow. So, yeah, I just feel like there are so many ways that we have this force among us and we can channel the force and we can do some serious chokeholds and all the cool things that come along with parenting. But we can also do some really amazing navigating the stars of our children sort of journey as well. And that's a much deeper alliance and a much bigger part of the resistance that we try so hard to support. So for those out there who are huge Star Wars fans, I really hope that today has been fun, enlightening. If you're a mom and a Star Wars fan, may the force be with you because it always is. Don't forget that you have that. And then, of course, for anyone else who may be new moms, if you're on the road to being mom, congrats. And also for the road before that and the road after that, you know, fingers crossed and all the things. We want people to just be encouraged by this message today and feel obviously this huge whelm of positivity that I'm hoping that you're feeling poured into. It can be difficult as a woman in tech, as a woman creative. Sometimes we get in our own path. Sometimes we put up our own blinders. Sometimes it's our own Death Star we have to take down before we can move on to the rest of the galaxy. And I hope that you found some way of holding on to some sort of beacon of light. Maybe that is some form of the resistance building inside that encourages you to move forward. So plot your own stars, make your path, forge your own ship, whatever that is. Maybe that's the Falcon. Maybe it's the Death Star, depending on what side you are. But I just hope that you understand and know as a mom, you wield your own saber and no one can destroy or take that from you. And so whatever side that you're on, you got it. Use it. yeah. Cicely, anything else you want to wrap up with tonight?
I can't even follow that up. Like, just all the things. Like, y'all saw me just nodding. Whenever I'm on mute, that just means, like, I'm just, there's too much. I'm in agreement too much. Like, I just chart your own path. I love that. Like, just follow the stars. I love it. And like I said, I just think we can reiterate, there's no one path to being a mother. There's no one path to mothering. There's no one path to motherhood, parenthood in general. Like, we each have to do what works best for us and what works best for our families. And, you know, that may not be something that works for me. That may not be something that works for Danielle. But as long as you are happy, your kids are happy, it works for your family dynamic, I say you do what you need to do. And like I said, just be easy on yourself. That's one good thing that, like, yes. I think especially as single parents, single moms, there's a lot of like doubt and a lot of like, oh my gosh, I'm doing so much wrong. And at the end of the day, I'm telling you, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, you will look back and just be like, you know what? I did the best I could with what I knew at the time. I didn't know what I didn't know. And when you know better, you do better. So that's all, like, that's the path that I'm on now, that any children I raise from now on, I will be better than the 21-year-old mom I was, because now, you know, I'll have 12, 13, 14 years under my belt and I will know more. I will be a better person. I will be a more mature person. I will be more stable. I will be so many more things. Not to say that I wasn't, you know, good to begin with, but I will be better. And that's all I care about, is just that being better and developing in a way that makes me a better person, that makes me, I guess, function better. Oh, okay. That makes you function better and just do better. That's all right. Look, she got excited. Y'all know what she was trying
to do. I was like, oh, man, that was gold. I was trying my best with the quotables. That's my favorite part. I love this. And I want to be able to do, obviously, we do this a lot more often. We actually do this already on Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on Clubhouse. So if you love the feel, you love this momentum that we're building, we're talking about, continue to have this conversation with us on Clubhouse. You can follow MTG More Than Graphics Clubhouse on the club on Clubhouse. It exists. We can definitely, we'll be sharing all of that on our Facebook page. If you follow, click follow for More Than Graphics on Facebook, and you'll get notification of when we actually do these on Clubhouse every Tuesday at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. So I think this is, I'm pretty much a wrap. I mean, we've talked about every level of motherhood that I really kind of wanted to dive into. We did all the Star Wars analogies that I could think of at the time. I was going to write them all down, but then I was like, nah, I'm just going to wing it. And that worked out great. But yeah, I really hope that all of you have, again, felt some sort of level of encouragement, support as being a mom, mother, auntie, grandma, neighbor, you know, step auntie, whatever you want to call it. If you're nurturing someone, whoever that is, you're a mama. Whether that's absolutely a pet, a fish, a person,
the plant babies.
The plant moms. Hey, plant moms, I'm talking to you. Plant seeds. I mean,
I love it.
Do it. I'm so for it, because this is what it's about. This is how we evolve into being better versions of ourselves. It's by taking that energy and investing it elsewhere. So on whatever scale or plateau that you are doing that on, we just encourage you and support you from all of us at MTG.
And just like that, the episode ends, but the convo has just begun.
Thanks for listening to the MTG podcast.
We want to hear from you. If you enjoyed our podcast, give it a review on your listening app of choice. Continue to follow our page
and look out for bonus content releases throughout the year. This podcast is produced by Octane Design Studios. Until next time.